I'm Martin SFP Bryant, and you're listening to Geek Out Weekly. Every Friday, Matt Navarra and I get together on Twitter Spaces to discuss the week's social media news based on what's in our weekly Geek Out social media newsletter, which also comes out every Friday. This week, we talked about Instagram helping creators make money, Joe Biden's more measured approach at probing TikTok than Trump's, but which could end up just as badly for the app, and Facebook's weird smartwatch. But first, Matt ran us through some of the most interesting new social media features he's spotted this week. Let's join him.
So Twitter is testing a couple of new tools for managing trolls. One or two of these are sort of small, and the other one I've heard about before, but for some of you it might be new. The ability to change who can reply to your tweets after you've published. So they had this feature that was put out, I think it was last year, where you can say only people that follow me can reply to this, or only people that have been mentioned can, or no one can. Well, if you do one of those tweets soon, you'll be able to go in and actually edit that. So if you actually think, well, actually I want people to be able to talk about this stuff on my thread, you can switch the privacy settings, a bit like we have on Facebook, to be honest. So that's coming. And there's this Twitter safety mode or auto blocking feature, which the only details that are there are those from the screenshots from Jane Wong, which show, I guess, some sort of auto moderation. So if you have a period of loads of stuff attacking you on Twitter, you can switch it on and it'll sort of step in there for you. So it'd be interesting to see when they launch that, how effective it is and how many people use it. And also a raised hand emoji, which seems logical to be added to Spaces because it's got other emojis in there. As I don't know if it might have even been added to by now, so we'll see. TikTok or scrubbing. So for those who are in TikTok and find those long videos and you kind of think, I just want to get to the end of it, you should soon be able to scroll, you know, forwards and backwards like you do in most other apps with video in it. Not everyone's got the scrubbing feature yet, but it seems to be rolling out to some people. So that's useful. And then the other quick two things before we go into some of the bigger stories. Instagram put out a bit about its algorithm and how it works, what it's looking at to be able to serve you the right stuff at the right time. I guess people like me are always looking at these thinking, is there anything here that can be used and kind of helpful to get some more organic reach and boost our posts? But a lot of it seems like common sense to me, and there's very little wiggle room for abuse, but certainly there's things you can use it for to take advantage of and do more of to appeal to the algorithms, how it measures things and shows content. So that's in there. And then this other one with Facebook distribution score. So they're now going to show you this metric which tells you, I think it's in multiples, isn't it, like four times or five times the normal amount for your content. It will show you for the things you've posted, this is for pages I believe, how far it's sort of spreading across the Facebook platform versus your usual content or other similar content, I think. I haven't seen it myself. I've only seen some screenshots. So a useful number to kind of gauge success on the platform, but I'm not sure how useful it is until I actually get access to it. But other than that, that's all main little things to start talking about. Let's dig into some of the other fun stuff as well. There was a wedding. Did you see this, Martin, about a wedding on Clubhouse?
Yeah, certainly an interesting use of Clubhouse, because surely part of the reason to take part in a wedding is the spectacle of seeing the people. So an audio-only wedding, for most of the people, is an interesting idea. And obviously you'll get to hear the vows and all of that, but surely it changes the way they have to do the wedding, because they have to suddenly you may kiss the bride. Do they have to then kind of you may kiss, or however you know they say it these days, do you have to do a really loud kiss so everyone can hear? Yeah, producing a wedding for audio is interesting, but yeah, 26,000 guests tuned in on Clubhouse for a wedding.
Yeah, well, the thing is, people are tuning in for all sorts on the app, and I still maintain that I don't really open up Clubhouse that much. I opened it again once this week just to have a little check and see what was going on in there, and again, it presented me with two or three rooms as the top Clubhouse rooms to go to that were in a foreign language. I didn't even know what the title of the room was because it was in a different language. I think it was in Arabic, I think. God knows what's going on with the recommendation engine there, but it's not working for me, so I don't go back in there. Couple of stories in case you missed it section of the newsletter. I won't go into details about them because it's worth having a little read, but one's about why you shouldn't show how wealthy you are on social media. I think, you know, there's some obvious ones around, kind of, if you tag that you're in the south of France and you've got a mansion and you've got all your jewelry there, then you're just sending a radar sort of alert out for people to just come down and rob you. But there are some other ones which are quite useful bits to understand why you shouldn't do it beyond the obvious ones. And then related to that, there's also an article that was in, okay, I don't know if I've got it in front of me, but it was around learning how hackers can use your social media profiles to piece together parts of your life and then use that to sort of dupe you into releasing more information about yourself or basically taking advantage of it to fish for more stuff and get into your accounts or other sorts of abuse. So worth
yeah, reading. without being paranoid, you've got to be so careful about things like that. You obviously got to assume that most of the time a hacker is unlikely to be interested in you as an individual. They're more likely to be interested in somebody who's a celebrity or something rather than just random person using social media. But at the same time, you've got to be aware of what you're putting out there and how that person who seems to know quite a lot about you might know that. That might not be the reason they say. Something to be aware of, if maybe not terrified of.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I haven't had any of my accounts ever hacked. I don't think in the entirety of being on social media I've had anything like that happen. You know, I get the usual spam emails and things that you think, is that real? Is that legit? When I have messages on Messenger and it's like someone is from a friend and it says, you're in this video. And I'm like, straight away, I'm like, this is what someone's account's been hacked here. But yeah, worth reading those ones. Twitter's testing audio messages in Twitter in DMs. Now, this isn't super new to me in the sense that I'd seen some screenshots of this or word of it earlier this year or end of last year, but someone actually sent me one, not screenshot, they actually sent me an audio DM, which, as anyone who knows me knows, I love audio messages. It's so much easier. I'm so lazy. So that looks like it's been tested. And the people that messaged me about it, there's three different people and they were all from India. So it could well be that that's the kind of geographic location that feature's being tested in. And then also someone alerted me to the fact that this might have been around a little while, but I didn't see it existed, that Twitter's added a dedicated social media topic for the topic sections that you can follow different topics. So it shows you, surfaces those tweets. It's only really a list of about, at the moment, 22, 24 Twitter accounts that are related to social media, like Instagram comms and Facebook's ones and all the other ones. So, I think beyond it just being a list, of course, it algorithmically will sort of surface these things in different places as well if you're following that topic. So worthwhile if you're into social media. So let's dig into the main stories that we talked about in the newsletter this week. And the first one being about Instagram. And it's talked, they've announced it officially now, the affiliate program that they have got set up, and also some other features to do with pinning your shop on your profile so people can see it more clearly and get access to it, and new rewards for live streaming to encourage people to stream more, to do with stars, so you can kind of get rewards for the more time that you've done live streams and other things that basically incentivize you to use the platforms a bit more. But a lot of this comes off the back of Creator Week, which Instagram put on this week around the world. And it was, I think they invited, they said something like 5,000 creators or so around the world. I attended it, the UK version of it, but I didn't realize when I was watching it was that this was just the pre-recorded stuff that's from the day before. And so when I was saying it's like happening now, everyone was like, no, this has happened yesterday. You're just seeing it on a delay. But it was some useful stuff in there. What did you make of some of the features? Because this affiliate one, the first thing that comes to mind that someone mentioned to me is this issue or concern that is there a lack of control for the brands who could have all these people flogging their stuff because they put it up there as something you can pick from the affiliate merch store on Instagram, where you can choose something you want to push out and then get the affiliate income from. But it seems like you cede a little bit of control over which people are talking about your brand and selling it, and maybe some brands won't want certain types of people flogging. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's not going to be for every kind of brand. I don't think every kind of brand is going to want it. They are going to be testing it soon with a small group of American influencers and beauty brands, just like a handful of beauty brands, I think probably mainly to see how it goes. Because, you could get some of these issues popping up that would very much displease the brands. But for certain kinds of products, I think it should be absolutely fine. You know, if it's a mainstream consumer product that is all over supermarket shelves, for example, then it probably works better than if it's a really exclusive luxury product, which I think those kinds of products just simply wouldn't go for the affiliate model. But for certain kinds of products, I think it'd be fine. It's early days for this kind of model in terms of these social platforms. Seeing something similar from TikTok as well, but I think it's something that's going to be a very exciting development in terms of monetization.
Well, I think also we were talking a lot about like the creators' tools that are coming out, and there's this big battle going on, isn't there, for social from the platforms to get as many of the best creators in as possible by giving them, you know, money or incentivizing them in some way or giving them tools to monetize what they're doing. But there's also another thing that's, you know, been growing for some time and is also a battleground in social media for the platforms, which is shopping, of course, and e-commerce or social commerce, whatever the way we're going to describe it. And so all of the platforms are now kind of vying to kind of take their sort of share of that and be kind of the platform for brands to want to go to. And I, you know, inevitably, I think most of the platforms will have a their own version of this, because like Pinterest has, you know, launched a shopping list feature this week, which is really useful. And TikTok's experimenting with Walmart and being able to link out on live streams to products. And you go around and Snapchat with all of its AR features, it's kind of, you know, creating to help shop so you can visualize, try on clothes and see if it fits you without actually trying on the clothes to see if it fits you. So all of this is building into, you know, this is Instagram's kind of bit of pushing as much forwards and getting out there with all the shopping features to get people using it.
It's integrated with Instagram checkout as well. So it's kind of bringing those two elements of creators and shopping together.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the other things that was in this area that we were looking at this week as well was that Facebook is now going to show the payout summaries for creators and about how much Apple or Google have taken as a cut from the final sum that, you know, the creators are getting. Which there's several bits to this. You know, the first one that comes to mind is, well, this is just adding more pressure and spotlighting what it is that I guess most people. No, I don't think most people. I think there is a lot of people will see it as being really unfair and unreasonable that Apple or Google take so much. I think there's another group of people that will see it. Well, actually, they provide an infrastructure, a platform, all the resources that help, you know, enable us to do a lot of this stuff. It's right that Apple and Google should be paid. It was a question over the percentages, but yeah, you know, this is more PR move than maybe a tool for individuals to really care about. Or am I missing something?
I think it's absolutely fair in terms of disclosure that they reveal how much Apple or Google is taking. It does set this conversation forward, brings this conversation forward. And we've been talking about this for a few weeks now about whether it's right that Google or Apple takes 30%. There's 30% from a massive developer for a huge app. You could argue maybe there's something in that for, you know, in-app purchases or whatever, but for a creator that's piggybacking off a platform which is piggybacking off the mobile app, it feels like when these 30% cuts were first created for app store platforms that maybe that kind of situation wasn't considered, which is understandable. And really, who's going to move first? Is it going to be Facebook or Apple? I think one of them should. It was a bit of a publicity stunt maybe, but another platform called Fanhouse has started a campaign to push Apple and Google to reduce their cuts as well. So it feels like there's a bit of a movement now starting, saying, come on, you know, it's ridiculous. And so on one side, you can be a bit suspicious of Facebook taking this approach just because, well, they're not taking any cut at first, but when they do take a cut, they might want some room to increase that cut over time. And if they're really limited in how much they can increase it because Apple and Google are taking so much, then you know, that's a problem for them. So if Apple and Google reduce their cut, that gives more room for people like Facebook or Twitter to increase their cut over time.
Absolutely. And in relation to the Creator Week stuff that we were just talking about, that Instagram's put on, their chief, Adam Mosery's did a Q&A, a live Q&A, talking about some of the most commonly asked questions or misconceptions or myths or whatever about the platform, which ties in with them releasing a bit more information about the algorithm as well this week. And one of the things that was quite interesting, but probably not that surprising, because I think we've heard him say it before, that they recognize that TikTok is somewhat ahead of the game in some areas versus themselves at Instagram in terms of entertainment value and sort of surfacing, and building up great new creators and supporting them and stuff. So they kind of made that little bit of an admission. They also talked about some stuff to do with verification and a whole bunch of other stuff. So there's a link somewhere further down in the newsletter where it links to all the stuff that he said in that Q&A. So for those that are interested, go and have a look for that and you'll find it as well. Let's move on to favorite topic, Trump. We don't mind a little bit of Trump every now and then. It's just like watching a soap opera rather than actually being news, and it doesn't ever change. But there's news in terms of TikTok. So everyone will remember that not so long ago, when there was a President Trump, that he was very keen to ban TikTok. And there was lots of discussion for months around, when it was going to happen and how it was going to happen. And an executive order was put out there, and just all sorts of kind of crazy stuff, because China's influence over American tech, and are they taking information and feeding it back from American users into the Chinese government and things. Well, that's changed this week, because there's been an update from the sort of Biden administration, hasn't there, Martin?
Yeah, so they're going to take a bit more of a measured approach than Trump. Trump was very bombastic. It's like, ban TikTok, ban WeChat, and it was all very dramatic and scary, really. There was a few weeks kind of September time last year where it was quite nerve-wracking, really, to see what would happen, because this would have been such a huge change, and there was lots of debates about how it would even work, and it didn't seem fully thought through. But as you might expect from Joe Biden's personality versus Donald Trump's personality, this is a more measured approach, but it could end up just as bad potentially for TikTok in a worst case scenario. Officials have talked about an evidence-based analysis of transactions involving apps that are manufactured or supplied or controlled by China, looking at the use of Americans' personal data and how that might be fed back to the Chinese military or intelligence or government, that kind of thing. So this could still be a problem for TikTok, but at the same time, as of yet, unless someone's hiding something, I have not seen any evidence that TikTok is giving any data about Americans or anyone from anywhere else in the world to Chinese authorities. So we'll have to see what comes out of this, but unless they find some hidden smoking gun somewhere, it should, in theory, be okay if they get the kind of anti-Chinese kind of impulses out of it and actually look at the evidence rather than, oh, scary, this other power coming to threaten America's place in the world, which is a lot of the anti-Chinese sentiment in political circles in America, is over this idea of China kind of becoming the dominant power in the world. So we'll have to see. But in theory, there is a potential problem for TikTok down the line, but a potential problem.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
And there was also a bit of news, wasn't there, this week that I noticed that in a time 6 months ago when he was president, this would have been everywhere. But now I think they almost don't want to write about it just because they don't want him to be in the news. There was a story about the fact that Trump had put out a bit of news saying that if he was still in power, I think he said he would have banned Facebook. But the fact was that Zuckerberg kept on calling him and telling him how great he was or something along those lines, or how great Facebook was. So how much you believe that actually happened in that, who knows? It's hard to tell.
When he's in power, it's the words of the elected leader of the country, and you think, well, we've got to listen to it, even if, you know, we've got to pay some attention to it, even if it sounds a bit far-fetched. And now it's just the ramblings of this guy hanging out in Florida.
I was just going to say it's the ramblings of a madman, but I don't know if that would be fair to say, well, that's too far. But anyway, he seems to be stepping up his efforts now, finding new ways to get in and get his message out there. And I think that is probably quite a decent one for him to try, which is basically say some more controversial things and then throw them out there in sort of a press release. And, you know, maybe they'll stick and someone will pick it up if it's exciting enough. Because at the moment, his blog thing that he's been trying and all the other stuff hasn't really done anything. So, let's move on from Trump, because I think we've probably exhausted that topic today. Are you going to buy a Facebook smartwatch if they bring one out?
Probably not, just because, I'll tell you what, I'm still rocking my 2015 Series 0 Apple Watch. I keep thinking I should really update it, but it does what I need to. It's got notifications and it tracks my movement, and that's fine. I don't have any of the new fancier features that have come in since, I think, WatchOS 3 is what this is still running. So it's quite behind the times, but it does what I need it to do. So I'll look on with interest. So this is an interesting device. And so it's got two cameras on it, one on the front for video calls, which you can kind of make sense. It actually sounds quite cool, like doing a little video call on your watch and they can see you on this little camera. That works well. It's apparently got a camera on the back as well, with the idea that you'll take your watch off your wrist and use it as a camera. I don't know how many people will do that, and there must be some kind of lens cover or something, because otherwise it'd get very sweaty and grimy, wouldn't it, rubbing against your wrist all day.
But
interesting idea. The Verge says it's coming out next summer. Andrew Bosworth responded to The Verge's piece by saying that, by indicating anyway, that it's maybe a bit more of an experimental kind of in the labs type product that they might not release, but just something they're playing around with.
So talk a little bit about kind of what the strategy is here, and why would Facebook be wanting to put out there a watch beyond, you know, it's another way to make some money and things, which may not be, and I suspect is not what the goal is here, because Facebook often with things like this, there's a bigger game to, you know, being done. Just reduce the price to nothing or very cheap, and then it's more about whether it's data or getting people staying on the platform or doing other things. And so I think in terms of the smartwatch, there's a couple of bits here around the idea that they don't have so much control at the moment over where their products are shown and displayed, in the sense that it's on Apple or iOS or it's on Google, and they don't own the kind of the operating system. And so by doing something like this could help that. But I do think there was something in there saying this would be a custom version of an Android operating system for this particular product. But there's also the bit about needing to kind of have things that feed into what this AR VR world might look like when it's, you know, a bigger deal and it's more established and more mainstream. And so having a device on someone's wrist that could help feed in more signals about maybe, you know, their emotions, because they've got tech they're working on that detects kind of electrical neurons that are going on in your body to sort of feed data into Oculus, so maybe it can give you a more engaging, enriching experience when you're using VR, and a whole host of other things that the watch will bring to the experience of using AR and VR. So there's more to it than just simply sticking a watch on people's wrists because it can make some money, isn't there?
Yeah, and certainly the idea of integrating with other parts of the Facebook universe, whether that is for kind of AR, VR entertainment, you know, through Oculus games and things, or whether it is more for kind of data collection, which I think a lot of people will find very sinister, but anytime you mention Facebook collecting data, it's immediately seen as sinister. And I think you have to consider Facebook at all times as primarily an advertising company, just as you do the same with Google, really. Yeah.
And we were talking about this in DMs, me and you, this week before, you know, when we were talking about Apple and what they're doing. We were, and I think we both were sort of saying how, that, you know, this issue of trust that we've come up again and again with Facebook, and do people trust them, and will they, and is that going to really restrict them, or be a big blocker or trouble for them in terms of competing with Apple when it comes to, you know, who's going to dominate any VR AR space world that we end up going into, if that's where tech is going. But you know, you rightly raised the point that, you know, a lot of people said that about Portal, and that Portal was a ridiculous device. No one would ever use it. It wasn't vain. And I was one of the people who was very doubtful of how much people would be receptive to it. And then they got, I don't know whether you could call it, they got lucky or the product's great, because I actually have a Portal now, which, and it is a good product, but because of the pandemic and everyone being in lockdown, it was a real opportune moment for them, wasn't it, to have a device that's geared around communicating with people distant and afar through a Facebook device. And it sold, from what we know. I don't think there's been many figures banded about, but I'm pretty sure it's done much better than they thought, and it sold loads of them. And so, you know, that's putting a camera and a mic and everything else in people's homes, and they kind of had some success there. So maybe people do have these concerns and fears and don't trust Facebook, but actually they don't care that much that they would stop them from buying a product that, if it serves them well and gives them some value in their day-to-day lives. So,
Do you think? We have to bear in mind that the Portal was discounted before Christmas. So they were heavily advertising it on television. Certainly in the UK, they were heavily advertising it on television and offering it at a discount until very close to Christmas. So that probably helped. It's clearly a product that struck a chord with some people, and it's you know, it's a useful thing for you know, grandparents, for example, to have, to very easily talk to younger family members and things, and so it's found a place in the world. You know, if you use Facebook Messenger, I don't see why Portal is particularly more sinister than that. It's not like it's got a camera that's watching your house constantly. It's got a little cover over the camera you can use if you want, and it's not going to be working when it's off anyway, and all that kind of thing. So I think it's always it always helps to be aware of Facebook's motivations, but demonizing them constantly as every last little tiny thing they do as being in the main a sinister thing isn't helpful really in any way, shape or form. Even if your ultimate aim is to reduce Facebook's power, demonizing them and painting them as evil constantly isn't going to achieve those aims.
And before we move on to the next bit, out of interest in the room that are listening now, would you buy either a Portal and put it in the house if you haven't got one, or a watch from Facebook if they released it, given what we've just talked about? If you would, whack an emoji reaction in the room now for the as we're talking, and then it'd be interesting just to see how many of you here would actually take one on and have it. At the moment, I'm watching the screen and there's not many people reacting, which is a sign that maybe people are still as suspicious of Facebook as they always were. But hey, I think I probably would, but then I'm an exception to the rule and in this sort of stuff, because I just take all of it. We forgot the fact that there is another story in the newsletter about Trump, so we quickly just talk about this one, because it was right as we were doing this last week that the news broke about Trump being banned from Facebook for 2 years, effective from January the 7th, and it also ends or coincides, people think, very conveniently ahead of the is it the midterm elections or whatever they have in the US, and so this was all off the back of a lot of uproar from the Facebook board, oversight board, giving them Facebook some strong recommendations for change and things it should do in terms of the fact that Trump is banned. They supported the ban, but said there needed to be a definitive time frame and a way to sort of gauge what would constitute for someone like Donald Trump to be banned and how long for. So they put out the release, Facebook did, saying, you know, this is the actions they've taken. I think they actually put in place most of the recommendations from the board. One of them they rejected, but there was a very specific reason for, and the others they're working on. So by and large, I think the view is from the people I've spoken to is that maybe the oversight board is working and it's doing its job, but I guess it depends on what side of the fence you are in terms of if you agree with what the oversight board's recommendations were and what Facebook did originally in it. But nonetheless, you know, he is banned. He's off of the platform. And someone asked me this week, do I think that he would be allowed back on Twitter? And I can't see that, given that they've been very strong saying no. And I would be very surprised if he was allowed back on in 2 years' time. My hunch will be is that it'll come around to those 2 years' time. They'll make a case. They'll have so much material to play from to say there's enough reason to say he's still a problem on the platform, and we don't believe, you know, we should have him on the platform, and it will roll on a bit longer. That's what I think will happen, unless he suddenly turns a new leaf and is actually a upstanding citizen of the world. But we'll see. And let's have a look at some of the other bits that are in the news for Facebook this week. So in the section of newsletter where we talk about Facebook stuff, particularly. So this is a bit dry for most people, but there's one of the execs from Facebook who was in charge of the ads platform, Carolyn Everson, is leaving leaving Facebook to go on to a new role. I don't think we know where. So lots of people are kind of making up their own sort of reasons for why they think she may have left and in terms of things. But either way, she's helped generate billions of dollars for the company. So I'm sure she left and they were pretty happy with her performance. But there we go. There was in one of the bits we were looking at, Instagram Reels, rollout has been delayed in some countries because they're still having issues with music licensing, apparently, according to Adam Mosseri, who was doing his Q&A. That was one of the questions that came up about Reels rollout and music use. So if you haven't got it in your country, or if you heard that people haven't got it, then that's probably the reason why. But I'm sure that eventually they'll cough up the money that maybe the music companies want, and it'll be on the platform soon enough. What else have we got here? Let's have a look. Let's move on to some Twitter news. So I'm still rolling this story about Nigeria and the suspension of Twitter's operations. I don't think huge amounts has gone on this week, but effectively it's still this battle between Twitter and another country who wants to kind of limit and restrict what is said or not said on the platform. And I think there was a story this week about more sort of pushing from Russia again. So there hasn't been massive developments this week. Unless I'm missing something, has it been, Martin?
There was the Nigerian story, which I think was breaking kind of last Friday.
Yeah.
Later on, there was the additional. So Nigeria suspended Twitter's operations, which could mean anything. But one thing apparently it does mean is that news broadcasters in the country are banned from using Twitter to share or gather news, which is pretty wild. So essentially, Nigeria didn't like what Twitter did in terms of its treatment of the country's president. They took action against his account because of things he posted. So this is the country striking back. And yeah, we've seen similar things in other countries like Russia and India. Just this week, India warned Twitter to comply with new social media moderation rules or lose its legal liability protections in the country. This really is one of those things where countries are going to keep pushing social media companies, and social media companies are going to at some point have to decide how far they will go in kind of a complying with the law, or whether they pull out of the country or whatever, because this is just going to keep happening.
Yeah, and it cut out there for me a bit, but I don't know if you said this, but yeah, there's some other bits as well this week in terms of India's been warned about following the rules in India to do with moderation or risk losing its legal liability protections. And then also Twitter kind of sort of trying to do a bit kind of sort of what they want, but not going so far by, you know, it's blocked 4 accounts to comply with some of the requests of the government. So lots still going on there, but no real firm sort of signal which one is going to kind of go first. Is it going to be the banning of these platforms around these countries, or Twitter's just going to say, do you know what, stuff this is not, this is too far, we don't agree with that, and we're not going to comply, and that's how it will be. We'll see, I guess, in the next few months as it rattles on. I find this story really interesting, but I guess it makes sense, you know, with TikTok. So ByteDance, this was news, I think, was out a few months ago, but it's now a bit more detail about it, or it started that ByteDance has launched what they call the Volcano Engine brand to offer its secrets to business, is the headline in Reuters and a few other places. But effectively, ByteDance, owner of TikTok, is selling access to some of its algorithm technology to be used in other sort of other apps, I guess, or other businesses, other websites, to help them, provide them with a ready-made, very well-produced algorithm that does various different things, that surfacing whatever it is the people that want to take on this algorithm to use it for their own purposes need it to do. So another way for them to make a few more billion pounds, I would imagine. I can't see Facebook or anybody else ever sharing their algorithms and selling it, but maybe they'll see TikTok and ByteDance doing it and think we're missing a trick here. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I think TikTok has a certain level of a kind of a glow around a halo around a recommendation system, just because it is it learns from you very well, and it's very satisfying in a way that you could argue other algorithms are pretty good at learning what you like as well, but just because of the kind of content TikTok has, the results feel, and the algorithm gives you a feeling of general warmth, I think, generally, because of what you see often is more of what you want. And so whether that translates to other business business intelligence content recommendation for internal networks within giant corporations and things, I don't know where they're selling it to, but that's one example. It could be whether that algorithm translates to there as satisfying a way remains to be seen, but I'm sure they'll make lots of money while people figure out whether it does or not.
And in other TikTok news, in Bloomberg, I think it was today actually, there was some information about the price increases coming to TikTok's ads. So if you're spending on TikTok, prices will rise, but it depends on what sort of business you are, because one of their top ad product, which is their first view, which basically is a takeover of the discovery page within the app, as far as I recall, it's £2 million a day for that top spot. So you got
$2 million.
Dollars, sorry, yes. So you'll be having to be doing pretty well to be able to afford those kind of ads. One of the bigger kind of global companies will probably snap that up, I'm sure. Also, there was some TikTok sort of doing something with gaming. I haven't quite got my head around this because it was something someone shared with me last night, and I saw another tweet today, which I've shared and put in the newsletter. But effectively, I think you get like a little carrot icon in the corner of a profile or something bizarre like that, and then you tap on it and it takes you to sort of like a mini game that's related to Farmville style game sort of thing. So keep watching out for that. I think in the US that's been seen, so maybe it's
seems to have like a charity element, doesn't it? Something about donating food or something.
That's right, yeah, it's an American food kind of I think you're right. What else have we got in there? That's there's a story in the MIT Tech Review publication about the TikTok changing the shape of some users' faces in what seems to be like a beauty filter that couldn't be switched off. This sounds bizarre. I haven't actually found this. I assume the filter would have been taken down or is not there anymore. But maybe it's bad enough when you put these things on your face and they make you look ridiculous. But if it's actually, you don't realize it's doing it, and then your face has been slightly altered, that would be a bit concerning if you're doing a video. So if you have a chance,
it's like
to
a TikTok
that
version of the lawyer who couldn't get the animal face off almost. Yeah.
Yes. And TikTok, of course, is one of the partners for the UEFA Euro 2020 tournament, which is kicking off this weekend in around my part of the woods in terms of UK and Europe. So there's loads of stuff in the app and on their socials about Euros and lots of kind of footballers and clubs that weren't already on TikTok now, making sure they are, to kind of leverage the moment that it exists for this as well. Let's have a look at some of the other stories that are going on. What we got here? Yeah, iOS 15 is out for those that are brave enough to install it. As I said earlier, I installed it within minutes of it being available, as a fool like I am. And it's actually got not many bugs in it. The only bug I've picked up on is when I sometimes am in a messaging app and I try and attach a photo to a message, it crashes whatever messaging app I'm in. It happens on multiple apps. But beyond that, I haven't really seen any issues. The browser is, I can't make up my mind if it's genius, the new Safari browser on iOS, or it's really sucky, because it's moved the bar at the top, which is where you type in the address, to the bottom, so that it's more in reach of your thumb and enables you to kind of flick between tabs more easier. But because of the muscle memory that everyone's got of looking to tap the top of the screen to find that, and it's not there every time, I'm like, oh, this is so annoying, I can't, it's not where I think it's going to be. But there are lots of other features that they've brought, some that they've brought back, some that they've added. There's so many, I can't remember them all. But the fact that you can now, when you're trying to correct a typo or something in a piece of text, that you can now long press on the text on the screen on your iPhone, and it will give you the magnifying glasses back, so it zooms in, so you can more precisely place to cut, copy, paste, is good. And there's a whole load of other ones. I take it you haven't installed it, Martin, have you?
No, I'm terrified of it, it ruining, not necessarily the OS itself being buggy, but app compatibility. So an app that I rely on every day, that I either like to use every day or rely on every day, not working because it's not quite optimized for iOS 15. And so just for the peace of mind, I'll read about it and hear about it, and then I'll install it when it's nice and stable and it's officially released. I used to download them early and write long reviews about them for the next web, but those days are gone. So I just like a phone that works and is reliable. What's interesting though is that a lot of the new features are for the default apps. And I mean, you mentioned Safari there, and I know lots of people use Safari, but I use Microsoft Edge on mobile and prefer that, to be honest. So if you use third-party apps, it doesn't feel like there's a lot in this that you're going to get out of. And a lot of one reason we're mentioning this is because of a lot of the new features within iMessage are kind of replicating or challenging social media messaging apps in terms of what they're offering, and kind of maybe saying, oh, is Apple taking on Facebook a bit here? But in the UK, at least, obviously it's different in the US, but in the UK, iMessage isn't a really popular platform at all. You know, everyone uses WhatsApp. So,
they certainly feel they can feel the pressure of needing to kind of get back into doing more with their messaging app and having more of a presence in terms of messaging. And there are lots of people, obviously, that millions of people use iMessage. But you're right, I think I rarely dip into that. It's normally when iMessage comes up, it's a message from Herm's Delivery saying there's a parcel on its way or something, or my mum gets the wrong messaging app and sends me a text instead. But yeah, there are quite a lot of features in there. And when I told you, I'd installed it, and then you said to me something like, oh, I haven't done it because I didn't want to get to Friday when it's our Twitter space and I couldn't use Twitter spaces and I haven't got a spare phone. I was like, oh, don't. I didn't even think about that. So luckily it works fine. So we're all good. But let's carry on while we've got it all working. Some other quick stories before we go into kind of the weekend reads and some other bits. What have we got here? I'm just going through the other news. What have we got? Reddit. So the dating apps, not strictly social in its purest form, but the dating apps are offering some of the features that you normally pay for, such as super likes in, I think that's Tinder, isn't it? And super swipes in other apps. They're giving you them for free if you to encourage people to get vaccinated against COVID is kind of an incentive. So if you're single and using the dating apps and you haven't done your vaccination, you know you're in luck because they're going to give you a load of stuff and nothing. What else have we got here? Scroll down. A couple of apps that I stumbled across this week. One called Tweet Hunter, tweethunter.io, I think it is. It's a tool that uses AI, like every app seems to be AI powered these days. It's a kind of sexy word to put in your marketing language, isn't it? But it gives you a nice way of searching for viral tweets. So you can put in a certain criteria, a topic, and some other bits, most of which you could do within the advanced search on Twitter, I would say. But there's some bits that are you can. It's a paid-for tool with a free trial, I should add. But for some people that need to search out things like this or are looking for this sort of content, this could be quite a powerful one. So Tweet Hunter. And another one which the address is hot.trendpop.social. And it looks at all the stuff that's going on TikTok and gives you a chart of the real-time or near-real-time or daily or whatever update of the most viral sounds or audio that's being used, users that are most being engaged with their content, and hashtags that are, you know, the most popular at that time globally, I think it is. There's a page that describes how it's calculating it, because obviously a lot of this information is only behind, some of it won't be able to be accessed through their API, but they do describe how they look for it and how that data is pulled together, but it seems quite useful. And then a little bit less useful, but somewhat fun. A guy, I think he's based in Wales in the UK, actually. He's done a lot of silly apps and Chrome extensions. He's created a Chrome extension for those that are always in YouTube and having to wait until the skip ads button on YouTube. Well, you put the Chrome extension on and it changes the skip ads to fuck off ads, basically. So those that are interested in that, then you can use that app to do that. I'm not going to go through all of the quick hits today because we're 4:45 in UK time, and there's loads of bits and pieces in there to do with some new features in iOS's version of Facebook Ads Manager. There's some stuff that's been worked on with Instagram to do with camera search. So this seems to be the in thing now, isn't it? Like like Google Lens, where you the camera you just scan it around and it picks up on different things. Like I take a picture of a pair of shoes and then it can find you on Instagram, you know, all those shoes that you're interested in. They're working on features like that on the platform. And there's lots of other things like messengers, QR codes and links you can send out to people to get non-friends, people you're not connected with on Facebook, to enable them to pay you some money if you need to sort of get money from someone to transfer money. So there's these new features for sharing links and QR codes to get people to do that. But there's a whole load of other stuff in there. I'm not going to go through all of those right now, but let's just jump down a little bit to the weekend reads. So the main one we've got this week is always a favorite of Geek Out, which is Taylor Lorenz at New York Times has done a great piece on young creators are burning out and breaking down. And there's some great quotes and conversations she's had with different creators who, you know, on these platforms, particularly TikTok, and the pressure of creating content, the workload involved in being a successful and, you know, profitable self-employed business, really, isn't it, nowadays for a creator, is taking its toll on people. And, you know, it is some of my friends who do this for a living, you know, TikTok creators, and the amount of videos that they produce and pump out and then managing all the brand relationships and all that stuff. If you haven't reached a threshold where you can have a manager to do that or employer, a virtual assistant or whatever, it is pretty intense. But it's a really interesting read. So if you get a chance to do that, that's one that's worth reading. And then the other one I'll pull out before I see what Martin thought, some of the other ones that are in there. Yeah, there's a piece in Vox, actually, how Snapchat became the forgotten social app. And you know, Snapchat seems to fly under the radar quite a lot in terms of news, you know, other than when they put their own press releases out or there's a significant development in terms of the new fund of money they're giving out people or whatever. It kind of sort of flies under the radar. And this article kind of suggests the fact that it's the way that they use the media to kind of get their story out there, but also the accessibility and the visibility of certain types of content or certain things that go on inside the Snapchat app that are sort of less easy to spot. And there's loads in there about kind of Snapchat's why it's sort of the less talked about platform compared to maybe many years ago when it was there. And yeah, it's still doing phenomenally well, I think, you know, certainly in terms of the demographic that's famously most likely to be using it. I think I saw some figures, wasn't it, this week, like, what was the number? A massive number, let's say, a percentage of people that were in the younger age brackets up until like 25 years old, 18 to 25 or whatever, that are using it as a main app. What was your other reads did you pick up on this week, Martin?
I highlight a couple. So Fast Company had a piece called Inside Photo Sharing App Dispo's Second Shot at Being an Instagram Killer. So obviously Dispo was quite a hot app earlier this year, and then they had the controversy around David Dobrik, and then it kind of just disappeared off the radar, didn't it? So it's just looking at how they're trying to fight back and try again. Another interesting shorter one is from the New York Times. YouTube isn't the music villain anymore. Looking at how YouTube has become an important part of the music industry, to the point that another thing mentioned in the newsletter today is that YouTube is set to overtake Spotify as the number one digital platform for payouts to the music industry. So YouTube now a real force in music.
Yeah. There's loads of stuff in there worth having a look at and having a read of. And I think that brings us kind of down to the end of it. Just a couple of things I was going to mention about stuff that's going on for Geek Out next week. So two things. We're finally getting to the point where we can talk about the new Geek Out podcast that we did two seasons of it with loads of amazing guests. And we wanted to do another one for lots of reasons. There's been a big gap, mostly because there's just lots of work on. But now we've secured most of the guests. We've got some really good ones. I can tell you a bit more, and then we'll do a bit more of a detail about it probably next week. But we're going to do a weekly, probably Twitter space that will be recorded into a podcast as well. It will be an interview with a special guest or a discussion. They'll come in and chat and talk about whatever it is that is going on in the world of social. And you know, if they're from a platform, for example, like Facebook, we'll talk about some of the things that they've been working on or some of the controversies that we're seeing in the news and more. And so we'll have some more to share on that later next week. And then also we've had Geek Out newsletter. We've had the Tech Revolution newsletter, which Martin writes for those that are into tech. But there's another third newsletter that we're going to launch next week. It's not by me and it's not by Martin. That's all I'll say, but it is under the Geek Out umbrella. I think it will be really popular. I hope it will be. And certainly there's lots of interest in it. And I think it's going to be perfect for the sorts of people that are into social media managers, etc. So I'll hopefully be able to share a bit more about that maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. It's going to be good. I really look forward to that. Other than that, I think it's time to wrap it up. Martin, where are you heading off to now? More work, or are you heading off the weekend?
Pretty much switching off for the weekend now, I'm glad to say. So looking forward to that.
Well, I'm about to head into another hour-long webinar for Hootsuite and talking about the future of social media to all the teams internally at Hootsuite. So that should be fun to chat to them guys as well. So I'm going to get off and get that done. Have a lovely weekend, everybody. Thanks for coming along and listening in, and we'll speak to you again same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.